Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Mildred J. Menlow. With my partner, Ruth Weiner, we are interviewing Mr. Jack Morris, August 14, 1989. Mr. Morris, tell us something about your family.
Well, my grandmother was born in Lithuania. As I remember and recount and think about it, she had three husbands at different times. One was killed in the war, one died from another thing, and one died from old age. But in any case, so there were three families there. They were all related. My mother was the third marriage, and her father's name and her name, of course, was Braun, B-R-A-U-N. And mother's first name was Ada, and my father's name was Abraham. And he came from somewhere in Russia. When he came here, the people who took care of the immigrants, Jewish immigrants in New York, settled him in Texas. And as I remember, lots of Jews were sent to Texas in the Midwest somewhere, but he didn't care for it down there, so he moved back here to Pittsburgh where he had relatives. And I think he opened up a store, a secondhand clothing store, downtown Pittsburgh at the site of the William Penn Hotel. It was before the William Penn Hotel was built, and I would, when there wasn't any school, he'd take me down there and I'd spend a day there. And I watched the commerce. Of course, by that time I was about 5-6 years old.
Where was your mother born?
My mother was born in Pittsburgh. And where? I feel certain that since I visited my grandmother in the Hill District, I feel certain that that's where my mother was born. But my first recollection of where I lived personally and where I was born was at 2410 Forbes Street, which was in the Soho District, a step removed from the Hill District on the way to Oakland and on the way to Squirrel Hill and East End.
What, your mother's parents?
That was my mother. Her name, my mother's mother was Dora Braun, B-R-A-U-N. And my grandfather's name was Samuel.
And where was he born?
Samuel Braun. I've lost track of that. I don't know where he was born. My suspicion is he was born in Europe somewhere. Most likely Russia.
And what did he do?
And you know, I don't know what he did because he was killed during the war. World War II.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters and one brother.
What are their names?
My brother's name is Sam, and my sister's names are Molly and Mary.
They married?
My sister Mary was married. My sister Molly never married. My brother is married. And he has five children.
Where does he live?
North Highland Avenue.
In Pittsburgh. Your sisters live here?
My sister, yes. Yes, my one sister lives on Farragut Street in East End. My other sister lives in Shadyside on Center Avenue. Molly.
Molly's in Center Avenue. Mary, what's Mary's name now?
Mary Gochner, G-O-C-H-N-O-U-R.
G she have children?
She has two children. She has Donna, who is named after my grandmother, Dora, and she has Alan, who is named after my father, Abe.
And how many children do you have?
I have two children.
What are their names, and how old are they?
Two boys. I have Michael and Daniel. Daniel's about 33, and Michael's about 36.
And they do what?
Now, Daniel is an MD oncologist in Tampa, Florida. And Michael is a lawyer in Los Angeles.
Oh, great.
And you have a third one?
Well, I want to tell you that we always consider that our third child is our daughter-in-law.
That's
her
lovely.
Name is Janet. We always refer to her as our daughter.
Janet is whose wife?
Michael's wife. And she's a lawyer. And they have Andrew, who's one and a half, and they're getting a baby girl in October.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
that's lovely.
And Daniel isn't married yet.
I have one like that, too. What about your wife?
Now, my wife, right now, a lot of her activity is that she is a docent at the zoo, Pittsburgh.
What is her name?
Frances.
Has she been trained in that work?
Well, she hasn't had formal training, but she's had on-the-job training, and she's quite expert in that field.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been married?
Been married 38 years already. 38 years. Can you imagine it?
Tell us something about your childhood, Mr. Morris.
Oh,
where did you go to school?
Oh, I went to the Forbes Elementary School down at about the 1000 block on Forbes Street down near town, because we lived at 2410 Forbes, and so we just had to walk one street straight down, follow Forbes. For Forbes Street to get to Forbes School. And I stayed there till I was in about the second grade. Then we moved to Oakland, and then I went to the Holmes Elementary School, which was in Oakland. And I stayed there till I was graduated from elementary school in 1937, February 1937. Then I went to Shenley High School. Graduated and went on to the University of Pittsburgh.
And what was your major?
When I was in University of Pittsburgh, where I stayed 2 years, I was a physical education major. Then I went to Slippery Rock State Teachers College for a year, same major, then I went to the Army.
What determined your interest in physical education?
I thought that physical education would be a easy major because I like to do all those things that seem to be in the curriculum.
Were you an athlete in any particular area?
When I was in grade school, in high school, I swam on the swimming team. And I learned to swim at the Iron Coffin Settlement in the Hill District.
Now, when you were growing up, Did you belong to a synagogue, temple?
We belonged, the first synagogue we belonged to that I remember was the Tree of Life in Oakland.
Are you still a member there?
No. We're now a member of the B'nai Israel.
Did you get your early Hebrew training at the Tree of Life? Were you bar mitzvah there?
Yes, I was bar mitzvah. You know, after I came, oh, you want to hear about after I came back from the Army, I went back to
Tell us about the Army, too.
Well, I went back to the University of Pittsburgh, and I was graduated with a degree in psychology this time.
How long did it take you to make the switch?
It didn't take me long as soon as I got out of the Army.
Once you got into Pitt, was it just another year to finish up to get your degree?
Well, yeah, well, I 2 years, yes.
How old were you when your father died?
I was about 38.
Oh, then you were a grown person.
Right.
Okay, tell us something about your experiences in the Army.
I was in the Army for 49 months. I was one of the first draftees. I was drafted before World War II had broken out. I was drafted for 1 year. However, the law was changed in the middle of the year, and they decided we were in for the duration of the emergency. But then the war came in December 1941, so we stayed on till we were discharged.
What did you do?
Well, I was in the field artillery.
Overseas?
Yes, we went overseas to Australia first. That voyage from California to Australia was 7 weeks. We never saw land or until we got there. Then we moved up to New Guinea, and that's where we stayed most of the war.
Was there combat there?
Oh, yes. Well, yes. New Guinea was the island which was contested by the Japanese. It was a jumping off point for the Japanese invasion of Australia. So it became very important to keep that island in the Allied American possession.
What was your rank when you were discharged?
Corporal.
You talked about graduation. When did you graduate from Pitt? What year was that? You remember?
About 1948.
Speaking about dates, how old are you? When was your birthday?
March 29th, 1919.
Let's get back to your family a little bit. Your mother and father. Do they have brothers or sisters here?
They did. They have all since passed away. No brothers or sisters left.
Anybody in your family that has emerged in the community apart from you? In a leadership role or anything?
Well, our most famous relative is Charles Morris.
Chuck Morris.
Right.
Tell me about him.
Well, he started out as a messenger boy. His first job was a messenger boy for the Western Union on a bicycle.
What was his relationship to you?
Cousin. And the the way it worked in those days was that my father came over here first, and he had this store in Pittsburgh, and he saved up the money, and he sent over for Chuck's father.
Whose name was?
Right. Isaac. And then he came over, and that's the way those things were done. And
mm-hmm.
So you've heard me. And Chuck became a business and community leader in Pittsburgh.
He started out as a messenger boy. Then what happened? We just left him there as a messenger boy. What happened?
I think the next step was that he opened up a store in the Bloomfield district. And from there he went on and opened up a wrecking company. And that's where he, that was his principal business.
He was tremendously successful.
Oh, yes.
He was involved in the community, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was involved in a very quiet way. At the hospital, at the synagogue.
Which hospital?
Montefiore. And the Beth Shalom.
And Beth Shalom. He speak in past tense, has he?
Well, he just passed away about 2 years ago.
Yes. Okay, let's get back to you. Here you are, you got your degree, you're out of the Army.
Boy,
any swimming in the Army, except for recreational reasons?
Well, I did. When we first got to Australia, I competed in the Southwest Pacific Area Championship Games.
Then you came back, you got your degree in psychology. What made you turn to psychology?
I thought that would be more interesting at that time.
Were you planning to teach?
Well, I was planning to be a clinical psychologist. However, I became so busy teaching that I just stayed with that.
How'd that get started?
When I came back from the Army, I got a job at the YMHA as a swimming teacher. And then that's where I stayed for about 20 years.
I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get back to some school days here. Any particular teachers who had any great influence on you?
Well, I had a teacher who was a teacher, but not in the school system. His name was Nathan Kaufman. He was a teacher at the Irene Kaufman Settlement, and he taught me to swim. And I was on the team that he coached, and we've had a long relationship over the years. He no doubt was my foremost teacher.
Did you teach in any of the schools?
Yes. I taught in the Greenfield Elementary School. Taught at Point Park College.
Jack taught my classes of retarded children at Greenfield.
Right.
It was a wonderful experience for them. They had so little to make them part of the world, and that really added a great deal to their lives. It was.
I remember those classes real well, and I remember you, and I, the, uh, the, impre- impression was in the school that you did all those things for those kids.
Well, they needed everything that
Mr. Horace is referring to Ruth Weiner's association in the school.
Right.
All right, tell us something about your life as you were growing up. Socially, were you interested politically in any way? What did you do as you were growing up? Teenager, young adult?
Well, as a teenager, my activity centered around the schoolwork and the activity at the Irene Kaufman Settlement. Between those two places, they took up all our time. In those days, of course, we didn't have the great variety of activity outside of those two institutions. The direction of life at that time was to get through high school and to get into college. And we were all directed that way by the teachers at the Irene Kaufman Settlement, more so than the teachers at the school.
Interesting. What besides swimming were you involved with at the settlement?
That was my main activity.
It takes a lot of time.
Did you have any particularly close association at Irene Kaufman Settlement with anybody except Mr. Kaufman?
The boys and girls that I met there. We had some great athletes there, and we all seemed to be in that cultural milieu. Some of the names were the Liederstein brothers, Milton and Hyman. Larry Lubish. That's three of the outstanding ones. Norman Tobias was a fourth one who is still here locally. The other people that I enjoyed being with, I just watched and observed them. Different people around the organization, people who ran the place, Mrs. Teller, Mr. Teller, Doc Ratner, Ziggy Kahn.
It's all centered around your work in swimming.
Correct.
Where did you meet Francis?
Well, when I worked at the YMHA, every year the department would stage a water show. And I was in charge of the water show, and Francis was one of the swimmers in the water show. And that's how we met.
What did she do?
She swam. She had a swimming part in the show.
What did she do? Did she have a professional life before you
married
her?
Well, no. We were married when she was still in college. She was graduated as a teacher. And she never worked as such.
Anything special that you associate with the city of Pittsburgh as you were growing up? Changes from the time you were a child?
Well, the big changes I observed personally that I lived through was the fact that we all moved out of the Hill District to everywhere else. And the other change was the cleaning up of the city. the city formerly, of course, was very, very smoky. And the air was a little polluted, and that seems to have disappeared with the demise of the heavy industry.
One thing I forgot to ask you, your wife's maiden name?
Bloom, B-L-O-O-M.
Frances Bloom. Does she have family here?
Her parents and her uncles and aunts are all gone.
Where did her parents come from?
Germany.
Germany. What did her parents do when they...
Her parents owned an automobile parts company called Superior Auto Parts.
Did she have any brothers or sisters?
No, she had no brothers or sisters.
Interesting to knowing just that there were the three children, and you went to Tree of Life and were bar mitzvahed there. Was the shul part of the regular life? Was it an observant family or just?
We were part of the religious life in that we all went to Hebrew school. So that was every day after school.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then on Saturday, we went to services. And on Sunday, we went to Sunday school. So when we had regular school, we had religious school, we had swimming, and the day was gone.
The day was gone. Homework when you got home.
And how did you raise your children?
Same way.
Where were they bar mitzvah?
B'nai Israel.
In your work, swimming, you have a goal to train good swimmers, competitive swimmers.
That's one goal. You know, my work in swimming is many faceted, and I deal and I teach across the board of the general population. Some people are handicapped, some people have handicaps. Some people are older, some people are very young, some people want to be competitors, some people want to be scuba divers, and some people just want to learn to swim for health purposes. And so everybody, while I have different chapters, different goals like that, everybody presents a different goal who comes to learn to swim or comes to for any participation in water activity.
What do you think about the new idea of putting babies in the water to teach them to swim very early?
Well, the rule of thumb on the basis of my experience is that begin to teach a person, regardless of the age, if they are in a state of readiness. If people force little children, babies, to learn to swim, they may be doing a lot of damage. First of all, they may traumatize the person who's learning. They frighten them. The teacher has to be very, very good at discerning what the condition of the person is whom he's teaching. The other thing about putting little wee children in the water is that sometimes they drink too much water in the course of a lesson. And that physiologically would be a negative effect because it would tend to dilute their blood system. The water that they would drink would get into their blood system via the stomach. And so that wouldn't be so good. You have to be very, very careful when you're dealing with young children. You have to to have a great empathy with these kids to understand what they like and what they don't like. Otherwise, you're in a position of doing more harm than good. I think the big item in teaching little children like that is to be careful never to do them any harm. And in general, to give them a good time and keep them happy, and then they'll do all right, rather than force them into a specific parochial setup.
I know sometimes you are placed in a position where over-anxious mothers feel that their kids are so bright that they're going to learn very early. And I know that must be difficult.
Well, what you do in a case like that is you roll right with the parents, and you have to be very positive with that type of parent and tell that parent that we're going to make all our mistakes conservatively. We're not going to give them as much as they can take. We're going to give them a little less so we don't make any mistakes. And they mostly go along with that idea that we've got to be careful and caring in what we do with those kids.
End of side one. Continue.